is love.
Softening of the arteries.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is marriage?
A business in which the husband is the silent partner.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here is that rat race again, entitled It Pays to Be Ignorant. We have a board of experts who know less than you do and can prove it. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled 3 Months in a Hayloft or Life with Fodder. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. I have a poem.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive. After all, it's over 170 years
ago. Yeah, they would be alive.
I mean, really, no one would be alive now.
No, no. Only Miss McConnell.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, next we have a woman who, when she was having her face lifted, it slipped out of the doctor's hand, and they haven't found it since. A woman who took a chocolate cake to a picnic so it wouldn't show the dirt, Miss Lulu McConnell.
Speaking about cakes, I was going to bake a cake yesterday, but my electric egg beater was broken.
What was the matter with your electric egg beater?
I don't know. Every time I put an egg in it and turned it on, it broke all the shells.
It broke all the shells. Great. Next, we have a man who would like to have hair on his chest, but he hasn't any chest. A man who makes a habit of always finding things that aren't lost, Mr. George Shelton.
Say, you know, Mr. Howard, coming in on the train this morning, I left my seat to go and get a drink of water. Mm. And when I come back again, there was a big husky Marine sitting in it.
I said,
sir. Oh, and I started to boil up. I said, yes. Get out of that seat.
You said.
Yeah, where'd you get the nerve to sit in my seat?
Yeah.
I said, get out of there this instant.
Yeah.
You said that to a big husky Marine?
And she was a sergeant, too.
Sheldon, you're a coward.
Yeah, only on my father's side.
All right. Well, you have just met the experts, folks, so if you're leaving the theater, leave quietly. Here's the first question. See what we can do with it. Pay attention. What is carried in a mail pouch? Did you hear the question, Mr. McNaughton?
Yes, I did, Mr. Howard. I heard it very distinctly. Uh-huh. Your diction is improving.
Thank you. Would you repeat the question so I'm sure that you heard it?
Oh, certainly, yes. You said, did you hear the question, Mr. McNaughton? And I said, yes, I did, Mr. Howard. I heard it distinctly. Your diction is improving.
That is not the question.
Oh, yes, it was. I heard it, too. You said, did you hear the question, Mr. McNaughton?
And I said, yes, I did, Mr. Howard. I heard it very distinctly. Your diction is improving.
Look, yeah, look. Mr. McNaughton, why don't you take your head apart and build a bungalow?
How many rooms?
How many? I don't care. You already got the attic. Miss McConnell, did you hear the question?
That's the same question you asked Mr. McNaughton.
That's right, and I said, yes, I did, Mr. Howard. I heard it distinctly. Your diction is improving.
Will you cut it out?
I said.
Mr. McNaughton, I'm not going to speak to you anymore.
You're not
going to
speak to me anymore?
No.
Well, Mr. Howard, tell me what I said that made you stop speaking to me so that I can go home and tell it to my wife.
I see. Miss McConnell, did you hear the question?
Huh? Oh, are you speaking to me?
Look, Miss McConnell, will you put your shoes on and stop playing with your toes? Look, we have a question here.
Well, my feet are hurting me, Mr. Howard.
All right.
I washed them this morning, and I can't do a thing with them.
Look. The question is, what do they carry in a mail pouch? Do you know?
How should I know? I haven't even got a pouch.
That's what you think. I didn't ask you what you carried in the pouch. What do other people carry in them?
I don't know. I don't go around asking people what they carry in their pouches. I'm no busybody.
You may not be busy, but you're a lot of body. Please, can you kindly tell me what is carried in a mail pouch?
Kangaroos, Mr. Howard, kangaroos.
Ah, please.
Yeah, did you hear the one about the baby kangaroo that ran away from home and left its mother holding the bag?
I see. Haven't any of you ever been to the post office?
Oh, rather, I have, yes. As a matter of fact, I wrote myself a letter today. Wrote myself a letter and went to the post office to mail it.
You wrote yourself a letter? Yeah. What'd you say to yourself?
Oh, I don't know. I won't get it until tomorrow. You won't get it. Big surprise.
The question is about mail pouches. What is carried in a mail pouch?
Speaking about mail, I read in the paper where a man had an operation in the hospital, and his wife sued the hospital.
Sued the hospital? What for?
For opening up her mail.
For opening
up. Oh, my word.
That is the corniest gag I've ever heard. Mr. Sheldon, did you ever see a pouch?
Oh, me? Oh, sure. When we're crowded and over at our boarding house, I sleep on one.
Yeah. You sleep? That's a couch.
Oh, no, Mr. Howard. A couch is a person who sort of walks stooped over, bent over, you know.
No. That's a slouch.
Oh, no. A slouch is a mean person who's always snapping at people and making nasty remarks.
Now we're back to Mr. Howard again.
Listen closely.
Yes.
What kind of wood is a mahogany piano made of? You get that, Mr. McNaughton? Have you got a piano?
Oh, yes, rather, yes. Indeed, yes. I have a beautiful piano. Goes back to Louis XIV.
We have a piano, Mr. Howard. Goes back to Macy's the 16th.
I see. Wait a minute. We're getting involved already. Mr. Sheldon, do you have a piano over at the boarding house?
Oh, sure. I play it every day.
Fine. What kind of wood has it got?
Come to think of it... Oh, it's not a piano. That's right. It's an organ.
Oh, an organ.
Yeah.
All right. What kind of wood is the organ made of?
Well, on second thought... No, it's not an organ.
Uh-huh.
No. No, it's a radio. That's what it is. A radio.
A radio. All right. What kind of wood has the radio got?
As a matter of fact, it's a saxophone.
I see.
Now juggle that around a little bit, will you? Besides, why do you keep asking me all the time?
Look,
what is this, a third degree or something?
Wait a minute.
Well, speaking of the third degree, my brother-in-law, Charlie Burns, used to be a detective.
Charlie Burns?
Yes, third degree Burns, they used to call
him. Oh, wait a minute, please. Third degree Burns. That's awful. The question is, what kind of wood is a mahogany piano made of? I'm practically telling you the answer.
Well, what are you telling the answer for? You don't have to tell us the answer.
Oh, no.
What are you trying to do, belittle us?
Isn't that true?
That's all you do. You just ask the questions. Our job is to answer them. What do you think we are, dumb?
Yeah.
Mr. Sheldon, you're not only dumb, you're stupid. You're not only stupid, you're an imbecile.
Oh, my word. Mr. Shelton, did you hear what he said about you?
I sure did, and I'm going over and get that guy. I've stood enough of his abuse.
Yeah.
I'll bust him in the nose. I'll break his arm. I'll pin his ears back. I'll gouge his eyes out. Excuse me, I gotta go home.
Oh, why do you have to go home?
I can't stand the sight of blood.
Please, haven't any of you ever seen a piano?
Oh, yes, rather. Only last week I helped my brother move his piano uptown.
Yeah. You have much trouble moving it?
Not much, but we had a terrible time getting it through the turnstile in the subway.
Oh, I imagine. Ain't that terrible?
It charged us 20 cents.
I imagine.
Yeah.
I love the piano. I used to play for hours. In fact, I was part of the piano.
What part? The legs?
Oh. Mr. Hahn, did I tell you I'm an authority on music?
You're an authority on music.
Without me, Beethoven wouldn't give a beat, and Wagner wouldn't give a wag, and Damrosch wouldn't give a... He just wouldn't care.
I see. There must be an easier way of making a living.
Tell me something, Mr. Howard. On a piano, why are the black keys raised higher than the white keys?
Well, don't you know why that is, Mr.? See, that's the high notes and the low notes.
Mr. Sheldon, how long can a man live without brains?
How old are you?
I'm John. Time for our contestants. While Ken Roberts is getting the folks up here, I will introduce our augustor, which I might say is one of the most nauseating assignments I've ever had. You've all heard of the hour of melody. Well, here is 2 minutes of misery. Dr. Novick and his off the beat orchestra.
Our first guest tonight, Mr. Howard, is Private Lynn Cooper of the United States Army.
Bye. Good evening, Lynn Cooper. We're glad to have you with us. How do you feel, sir?
I feel very, very fine, Mr. Howard, particularly
after... Well, you certainly do look it. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
I live in Los Angeles, California.
All the way from California. Well,
Los Angeles, California. Well, wash the paint out of my whiskers and call me B.O. Plenty.
I imagine.
I I used to work in that town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was a dentist in a pastry shop.
You were a dentist in a pastry shop?
Yeah, I used to put the fillings in the chocolate eclairs.
I bet that was a soft job.
Oh, please, cut it out. Pay no attention to them at all. They're just two morons in search of a brain. How long have you been in the service, sir?
5 months.
5 months? Well, that's fine. What did you do before you entered the service?
Well, it's too long to pronounce, Mr. Howard.
It's what?
It's too long to pronounce.
The job is too long?
Yes.
It lasted longer than 5 months, huh?
Oh, yes.
I see. Well, we're mighty glad to have you. Maybe it's a
book. Yeah, but...
You know, Private Cooper, my uncle was in the Army. In the Army all his life.
Yeah. Yes.
Ever since his infantry.
No.
What am I saying?
That was very cute, Mr. McNaughton. Whatever it is. Cut it out. Do you think you'll be getting out of the Army in the near future, Mr.?
Why, actually, I don't have any idea about that, Mr. Howard. You know, us soldiers, us sailors,
yeah,
the commanding generals, the president.
Well, I'm sure you're glad you're here anyhow, honey.
Yeah,
what's your first name?
Lynn.
Lynn?
That's what my wife calls me, Lynn.
Lynn. Well, I think he's a very nice person, isn't he, Mr.
Yes, he's a nice, tall-looking soldier, I'll tell you that.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah.
He sure is. Well, you can just call me upholsterer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the stuff.
You got the stuff. You got plenty of packing, too.
Yeah.
I tell you what you can do with it for us, Lynn, if you will. Will you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And will you read the question, if you don't mind? Just take your time and read into the microphone.
What two languages are found in the Spanish American Dictionary?
What two languages are found in the... No help from the audience, please. What two languages are found in the Spanish American Dictionary?
Mr. Howard, permit me to say that question was very well put.
Yeah.
And I wish he'd put it where he got it.
Mr. Shelton, I think it's a very excellent question. Don't you think so, Miss McConnell?
Yes, I do. I think it's a grand question. Yeah. Wonderful question. What was the question, Mr. Howard?
Are you nuts?
I think that's a wonderful question.
I see.
A great question.
Please, what two languages are found in the Spanish-American dictionary?
I still don't like it.
All
when
right.
I don't like a thing, I lose interest in it.
Yes.
I'm funny that way.
You're funny anyway, Mr. Shelton. I might say you're a moron.
Yeah, and I can prove it.
All right, you can prove it. Questions about languages.
Oh, languages. Oh, I speak several languages. Yes, rather. There's only one tongue that I can't master.
Which one is that?
My wife's.
Yes. Tell me something, Mr. McNaughton. Can you speak Spanish?
Oh, can I, rather? Yes, I speak Spanish in three different languages.
In three.
You know, I speak Spanish fluidly.
Yeah, you speak anything fluidly. Come over and water my lawn someday. Look, do you speak Spanish, Mr. Sheldon?
I certainly do, fluidly.
Yeah, let me hear you say something in Spanish.
Parlez-vous français?
Parlez-vous français. That's French.
Well, what do you know? I speak French, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Mr. Hart, I speak French. Yes.
You do?
En histoire, qui m'allez pense.
What does that mean?
Don't take the soap out of the bathroom.
Look, I ask you again like a sister from the lodge. Can any of you tell me what two languages are found in the Spanish-American dictionary?
My old man was here. He can tell you.
Oh, really? Is he a linguist?
No, he don't belong to any church.
Look, Miss McCollum, does he speak Spanish?
He speaks every language but Greek.
I know, but does he speak Spanish?
No.
Does he speak Russian?
No.
Well, does he speak French?
No.
I thought you said he spoke every language but Greek.
That's right. They're all Greek to him.
They're all Greek.
You know, Mr. Howard, when I speak languages, I look like a native of the country whose language I happen to be speaking, you see.
You
when
do.
I speak French, I look like a Frenchman. When I speak Russian, I look like a Russian. When I speak Spanish, I look like a Spaniard.
Do you speak pig Latin?
Oh. Rather, when I speak pig Latin, I look like... Just a minute now.
Spring is here. Somebody's getting orchestra at high school played better than that. But now have we another contestant, please?
Yes, indeed we have, Mr. Howard. A very lovely and charming young lady she is. Yeoman third class Billy Rittenhouse of the Wave.
Fine. Good evening, Miss Rittenhouse, and welcome to A Paced Beer. How are you feeling, Miss Rittenhouse, this evening?
I'm feeling very well, thank you.
Well, fine. I'm glad to hear that. You certainly
speak
do look.
French, Miss Rittenhouse?
No, sir.
Parlez-vous français?
Never mind.
Oui, oui. English interpretation, what are you doing tonight?
Ah, cut it out. Mr. Sheldon, I'll thank you not to make passes at our contestants. Pay no attention
but
to them,
Miss. It's a big wave, though.
All right, all right. Where is your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Clarksburg, West Virginia.
Clarksburg, West Virginia. Clarksburg, West Virginia. Very pretty little town.
Oh, beautiful girl, isn't she, Mr. Howard?
Yes, she is.
Very, very beautiful. I reiterate, very beautiful.
All right.
She's the kind of a girl I'd love to kiss.
Mr. McNaughton, please remember there's an art to kissing.
I know. I'm an art collector.
Pay no attention to him, Miss Rittenhouse. He's one of the things that's been left over from Lend-Lease, you know what I mean? How long have you been to service, Miss Rittenhouse?
1 year, sir.
1 year. Congratulations. How'd you like?
I like it very much.
Well, that's fine. All the girls that we've had up here say the same thing, I'm sure. What did you do before you went into service?
Same as I'm doing now, stenographic work.
Oh, typewriting and dictation and things like that.
Yes,
copying
sir.
Copying letters.
And shorthand.
You're done. And shorthand.
Yes, sir. Well,
she's a long girl for shorthand.
Don't mind him, Miss Rittenhouse. We're going to feed him in a minute now. You done typewriting down in Clarksburg, too?
Yes, sir.
Are you married?
No, sir.
You're not married. Well... what? Well, not that I meant anything.
Why don't you look at your wife's picture?
Never mind. I didn't have any thought in mind at all, Miss Rittenhouse. I'm surprised that Ken Roberts picking it up like that. Of course, you would expect that from a wolf like Roberts.
Oh,
is
yes,
this,
sir.
Is this your first time in New York?
No, sir. I've been here a couple times previous.
Oh, how do you like New York?
I like it very, very much.
Good. How do you compare it with Clarksburg, West Virginia?
Oh, there's no comparison.
Well, I mean, what would you say about the boys in Clarksburg and the boys in New York? Would you care to...
Well, I haven't met any boys of New York who are residents of New York, so therefore I can tell you.
You haven't met any boys in New York?
No.
Oh, how long have you been here this time?
Exactly, 36 hours.
36 hours? Well, my goodness, I think you're wasting a lot of time. We got some nice boys in New York. Well, we certainly are glad to have you with us, Miss Rittenhouse. Will you reach into the dunce cap, if you will, please, and pick out a question for us?
What is your post-war plans, Miss?
Ah, cut it out! I told you, Mr. Sheldon.
I'm just checking, that's all.
Never mind checking.
Miss Rittenhouse! Miss Rittenhouse, would you like to go out with me after the program? I've got a date with the sailors outside. Two sailors outside of the Astor at 9:30.
You have? Who are the sailors?
How do I know who's going to be outside of the Astor at 9:30?
I'm really sorry for this interruption. Just read the question, will you, Miss Rittenhouse?
What profession do they teach in a barber's college?
Thank you. What profession do they teach in a barber's college? Did you hear the question, Mr. McNaughton?
Perfectly clear, the question.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I heard every syllable with the utmost clarity.
Fine.
That, of course, was due to your perfect and beautiful enunciation.
Oh, thank you, Mr. McNaughton.
Permit me to congratulate you, Mr. Howard, on the purity of your tone and diction.
Oh, that is indeed very sweet of you, Mr. McNaughton.
Say, would you two like to be alone?
Why don't you kiss each other?
Let's get on with the question. In what profession do they teach at a barber's college?
I went to a college once, but it wasn't a barber's college.
No? What did you take in college?
I took cooking.
What do you take now?
Bicarbonate.
That's jolly, isn't it?
Well, you cut it out and try to answer the question. It's about college.
I went to college.
Oh, really? Did you take Spanish?
No, I took Scotch.
You took Scotch. Gentlemen, I'm talking about a barber's college.
You know, my brother-in-law went to a barber's college. I'll never forget his college yell. Cut his lip. Slash his jaw. Leave his face. Roar, roar, roar.
A horrible thought.
You know, my old man has imported hair.
Imported hair?
Yep. When he combs it, he has to bring some over from the other side.
My wife's brother has been a barber. My wife's brother's been a barber ever since he was a little shaver.
Ever since he was a little
shaver. Oh, my word. Do you hear what I said?
I heard it.
My wife's brother's been a barber ever since a little shaver.
Yeah.
Comical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clever, no?
No, it ain't clever at all. Please, let's get on with the question. Try and answer it, will you?
You know, there was the only thing that kept me from graduating and finishing college.
What was that?
Not finishing high school.
That would be the problem. Very apt.
You know, I'll never forget my college days in dear old England.
Your college days in England?
Yes.
You went to Cambridge?
Oh, rather, yes. I also went to Oxford.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How about eating?
Thanks, old boy. I'll have a hamburger and a cup of coffee.
If you went to college, how did you become so stupid?
Oh, I got an early start.
Ah, hey.
When I was young, I went to college. I spent the best years of my life up at Yale.
Well, I'm glad. Yale? That's a man's college.
You're telling me.
Well, we're being reminded by our good friend, Mr. Pelosi, that our time is up. So we'll just have to postpone our clam bake until this time next week. Try and be with us. We'd love to have you. Now, here is that reject from the Metropolitan Opera Company to tell you what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant. To be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. Each week I earn $6. My brain is terribly lax. But when there ain't no income, then there ain't no income tax. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be inane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
Join us again next week at this time. Ignorant, starring Tom Howard, Harry McNaughton, George Shelton, and Lulu McConnell, with another guest expert and Nat Novick's Rhythm Butchers, will be back to pester you again next week. Ken Roberts saying so long for the Armed Forces Radio Service.